You're listening to the Texas Standard.
We're inching closer to ballot day across Texas. And no, we're not talking about 2020 here, but rather what's on the ballot statewide in just a few weeks. For those who might have missed it, yes, Texans go to the polls on November 5th to decide on constitutional questions, the Texas Constitution, that is. And today we're going to get you up to speed on what some of our editors and experts believe may be among the most significant issues you will be asked to decide. Joining us now, Brian Smith, professor of political science and associate dean of the School of Behavioral and Social Sciences at St. Edward's University in the Texas capital city. Professor Smith, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Well, thank you for having me.
And joining us from Texas A&M Corpus Christi, it's Juan Carlos Huerta. He is professor of political science there. Professor Huerta, thanks for joining us on The Standard.
Oh, hello. Looking forward to the conversation.
Let's begin this conversation. Professor Smith, you were reminding me that it's not just all about constitutional amendments here in Texas. We have some special elections that are in play.
Right. There are 10 amendments on the ballot for the Constitution, but there's also three open Texas House districts that are open. So people living in those districts are going to be able to fill vacancies. And it looks like one is really a very key seat that the Democrats want to flip to their side. It's a vacant Republican seat, and that's the 28th district.
Tell us a little bit about who was in that seat and what are the circumstances of that person leaving?
The gentleman who was in the seat moved up to work for the University of Texas, took a spot on the Texas board because it's a vacancy. Mm-hmm. You'll have to have a special election. He won by about 54% last time. So it's a seat the Democrats really think that they can flip.
John Zerwas, you're talking about.
Yes, John Zerwas.
Right.
Especially because it's a open seat election. It's a election that only is going to feature lower turnout. Right. So anything can happen.
Very interesting. You know, Professor Huerta, there had been some talk about the possibility that Democrats might actually take over the House of Representatives, Texas State House. You see that happening, perhaps, with these special elections?
Well, it's a way to sort of begin, you know, the process for this. You know, you got some of these. And with one thing about special elections, it's very different. You know, as Professor Smith pointed out, that, you know, they have very low turnout. But unlike other elections in Texas, they have to have a majority. So we may be also seeing a runoff to some of these special elections. And that'll be another key indicator for us to watch and to start seeing if the Democrats can start chipping away. Because 2020, you know, if the trends we see right now hold up, you know, it could be a good year for Democrats. And all eyes are on Texas for the 2020 election.
Yeah, so we have, we have a North Houston in play, House District 148, and you have a district in Dallas to fill the seat vacated by Eric Johnson, who, of course, ran that successful mayoral race in Dallas. Let's move on to the constitutional amendments that are on the ballot. We can't get to all 10, but we'll link to all 10 over at texasstandard.org. Let's begin, Professor Smith, with Proposition 4. This relates to personal income tax. What's that all about?
Right. We know Texas is one of the largest states that doesn't have a personal income tax. And what this would do is actually codify that Texas is not allowed to have an income tax by putting it in the Constitution. So that way, if you put it in the Constitution and then Texas decides we want to have an income tax, not only would it have to get through the legislature, it would have to get through the voters as an amendment to this amendment. So it really puts up an additional firewall against ever adding a constitutionally supported income tax in Texas.
I guess that's the argument that some people are making against this, right? They're saying that why do we need something that seems redundant? But what you seem to be suggesting is that this just puts up another obstacle.
Right. We know the Texas Constitution is one of the actual oldest constitutions in the United States. It's one of the largest constitutions in the United States, and it's filled with Band-Aids that fix wounds that fix then are put on top of that Band-Aid. So it's just a giant document, and if you ever can't sleep, start reading the Texas Constitution and you'll fall asleep quickly.
Professor Huerta, I heard you chuckling about that.
Yeah, when you look at this, when I visit with my students about the Texas Constitution, one thing I remarked to them about is the things we wind up voting on that seemingly are legislative, but you know, based on how our Constitution's written and the way it's very restrictive in powers, we can't do things. You're asking about amendments. One thing when I was looking at this with my students was Proposition 10 about law enforcement animals. And you know, certainly, you know, when you have retired police dogs, yes, they're state property. And you would think that the state legislature could pass a law that would allow the transfer of these. No, we have to amend the Texas Constitution to allow the transfer of retired law enforcement animals to somebody else because they're state property.
How does this come up? Why is this not taken care of? We just ended a legislative session. Why would that not be taken care of there and then?
Well, because the Texas Constitution says, you know, it treats animals the same way it treats beat up old police cars as salvage and surplus. And any salvage and surplus has to be auctioned or donated or destroyed no matter what. And that's so this is saying, you know what? These are bonds that people have with the animals. Why can't we just give it to it? If you did, then it would be unconstitutional if you just said you've worked with this animal for a long time. We're going to give you the animal. No, that's unconstitutional. So you have to pass an amendment to saying, okay, this is now constitutional.
Professor Huerta, you were talking about the legislative aspect of this, how it seems like there's so much legislative activity that's taken care of through constitutional amendment. There's another one, Proposition 6, which involves cancer research. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, again, that's something similar. You know, you would think that the state legislature could have on its own authority the ability to create funds for cancer research, right? And we've all been affected by cancer at some point in our lives. And seemingly, you know, okay, let's pass a bill to do something about this. But again, the Texas Constitution very much limits the powers of the state legislature and what it can do. So seemingly something is, you know, such as increasing the amount of funding that can go to cancer research does, again, require, you know, a constitutional amendment. So that takes a, you know, supermajority in the House, supermajority in the Senate, and a majority of the people who go and vote in these constitutional amendment elections. And Professor Smith alluded to this earlier with the special elections. There's low turnout in those, we can expect. There'll be low turnout in these amendment elections as well.
I want to get to the turnout issue and dig a little bit deeper in just a moment, but there's one other that we should touch on because it's received so much attention, certainly in recent legislative sessions, and that's public education. Part of Proposition 7. What do you see there, Professor?
Well, again, this one is a case of the Texas Constitution having to evolve. They had written a law saying, we passed an amendment saying you can give $300 million out of the permanent school fund. And so now what they want to do is double that amount. And so to double that amount, you actually have to change the Constitution to do that. So this is what it's doing. It's remedial. So both Proposition 6 and 7 are cases where we pass an amendment specifying an amount. Now we have to pass a new amendment to actually increase the amount. But this one would be for public education and would be able to take more money out of what we call the permanent school fund, which is used for a lot of the building, and then give it to the schools on a per student basis. So this has broad support because it's money going to the students.
Of course, there seems to be a certain tension in having broad support for giving more money to schools, but at the same time turning around and making it tougher for the state to raise money with, say, an income tax, right?
Right, but this comes, the school fund money comes from different places. A lot of this is coming from land investments and some of the things that Texas actually has a lot of money in. But again, it's just an old document that needs it's like an old car. Every couple of years, you're going to have major problems and you got to go in and get it fixed.
I hope both of you brought your crystal balls because I'm going to ask you to let me know what you think when it comes to outcomes for this. Because, of course, we're talking low turnout here. I'm not sure what all of that, and this is presumed. I mean, there are a lot of people who are really engaged in politics right now. So what does this mean when it comes to turnout, number one? Number two, do you see a sort of a mixed bag when it comes to outcomes for these constitutional amendments? How well plugged in are folks?
My sense is that they typically all pass, you know, unless there's really controversy about these amendments, they'll all wind up passing, and I would expect them all to pass, and I would expect turnout to be low unless it's just someplace like Houston, where they're having a mayoral election or some other kind of high-profile election that may draw the turnout. You know, here where I am in Corpus Christi in Oasis County, you know, we'll get 10%, I think, on this. There's nothing else on the ballot but these amendments. So even though, you know, might be some folks really paying attention to this, you know, the vast majority of voters are going to be pretty tuned out on this one, I would expect. And that's what we see in the past.
10% sounds rather high, though, Professor.
10% for this one, I think, might be pretty high simply because there isn't any issue out there that's really so divisive that you're going to get a lot of lobbying you're not going to get any faces there. But just some historical data, 75% historically have passed, 91% since the 90s. We're 100% in the 21st century constitutional amendments.
Brian Smith, professor of political science at St. Edward's University in Austin. Juan Carlos Huerta, professor of political science, Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Gentlemen, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us on the Texas Standard.
Oh, thank you for letting us be here.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.